For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. A Confederate statue in Charlottesville that became a rallying point for white supremacists has been vandalized again. Harrisonburg is destroying hundreds of trees at a city park to fight an invasive insect. And Culpeper area Republicans choose incumbent Nick Freitas to run for re-election for his House of Delegates seat, even though he missed an important filing deadline. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, July 25th. A Confederate statue in Charlottesville that became a rallying point for white supremacists has been vandalized again. WVIR-TV reports the statue of General Robert E. Lee was found Wednesday, painted with profane graffiti against President Trump. Police said that the city's Parks and Recreation Department was notified to clean the statue. A lawsuit continues over removing the statue, which has been vandalized several times in the past. In August 2017, white supremacists seized on the city's plan to remove the statue and flocked to Charlottesville for what became a deadly rally. The city of Harrisonburg is removing hundreds of infected ash trees from a park in town to fight an invasive insect. WVIR-TV reports that if not removed, the trees would eventually die from an infestation from the emerald ash borer. The trees are at Westover Park, just west of downtown. The city will break down the removed trees into wood chips as part of an environmental project at another city park. A bioreactor at Purcell Park will use the wood chips to cut down on the growth of algae in the pond there at Purcell. At Westover, the city will plant 500 native tree seedlings this fall and will install up to 150 larger trees. The emerald ash borer eats the leaves of ash trees, and the young beetles also damage the trees by feeding on the inner bark. Republicans have picked a GOP lawmaker who missed a filing deadline and submitted incomplete election paperwork to be the party's candidate for the House seat from Culpeper. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports that the state GOP's 30th District Legislative Committee voted Tuesday to select Delegate Nick Freitas as their candidate. Freitas had withdrawn his candidacy for re-election last week. The State Board of Election will decide whether or not to accept the committee's nomination. The board's ruling could be challenged in court. The 30th District covers parts of Culpeper, Madison, and Orange counties. Charlottesville and surrounding Albemarle County have long had an abundance of freelance writers. Well, now some of them are suing over what they see as unfair taxation of their craft. From partner station WCVE, Hawes Spencer reports on the controversy.
John Hart is a novelist who says he objects to a location-based tax.
I work from between my ears. I make a living off of pure imagination, and I could literally do my job sitting in a tree.
Fellow novelist Corbin Addison is also suing.
We should be treated equally, and in this case, the city and the county are not treating us equally. They've given an exemption, a free pass to the traditional media, and yet they've come after us.
Local tax collectors claim they're just following state law.
In Charlottesville, Hawes Spencer, WMRA News.
Richmond's mayor is resigning in protest from a historic Jamestown committee because of the group's reported plans to host President Donald Trump at the 400th anniversary celebration of democracy in America. Richmond Mayor LeVar Stoney sent a resignation letter on Monday saying Trump, quote, denigrates our democracy and has no place at the event. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reported Friday that Trump will attend the July 30th event, but the White House has not confirmed that plan to the Associated Press. Democratic lawmakers have said they will boycott the event. The event will commemorate the 1619 founding of the House of Burgesses. It is part of a week-long observance of the state's colonial past, which also will mark the 400th anniversary of the first enslaved Africans' arrival in Virginia. Spending lots of money is not always necessary to get elected to office, but as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports, it's often a sign of success.
Candidates who spend the most money don't always win, but according to an analysis of campaign finance numbers from the Virginia Public Access Project, they almost always win. Take the top spending candidate this primary season, Republican Paul Mildy. He was the challenger who took on incumbent Republican delegate Bob Thomas in Fredericksburg because of the incumbent's support for Medicaid expansion. Stephen Farnsworth at the University of Mary Washington says the challenger invested heavily in direct mail.
There was a very high dollar effort by Mildy to flood the mailboxes in the district with lots of critical information, arguing that Bob Thomas wasn't a real Republican.
But don't think spending a whole lot of money is always a sign of strength.
Sometimes a heavy spending amount by an incumbent is a sign of trouble.
Jeremy Mayer at George Mason University.
They want to have a big war chest to scare off challengers, but they don't always want a heavy spend. And if they are heavily spending, that can be a sign of weakness.
Top spending incumbents during this year's primary season include Republican delegate Israel O'Quinn in Southwest and Democratic delegate Kay Corey in Northern Virginia. Both had to hit the campaign trail hard this year. Between the two of them, they spent more than $150,000 to get renominated in the primary. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, on Wednesday, we reported that more than 800 Virginians had received licenses to grow industrial hemp. And hundreds of people are expected to attend Virginia State University's Industrial Hemp Field Day to talk about the future of Virginia's newest legal cousin to marijuana. From partner station WCVE, Charles Fishburne reports.
For the first time since it was banned in 1937, commercial hemp is growing in Virginia soil.
Overall, the crop looks good, not perfect, but we're very happy with how it looks.
Glenn Rhodes is a Shenandoah Valley farmer and one of the participants in the field day, drawing growers and producers and dealers in what they all hope will be Virginia's next big money crop.
We encourage interested growers to start small.
Aaron Williams, a senior policy analyst at the Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services.
There is a lot where everyone's still learning about the plant and its response to Virginia's soil and Virginia's climate.
The number of registered growers has jumped 10 times since March. The General Assembly, following changes in federal law, allowed almost anybody to register to grow industrial hemp.
In 2018, we had about 80 registered growers. That as of July, we have close to 900 registered growers.
A farm with my family in the Shenandoah Valley, we have dairy, turkeys, cattle, and crops. So hemp was interesting because it's new and has a potential to add a crop that we can farm in our rotation.
Commercial hemp fibers can be used in textiles or industrial processes. It can be used for grain, and the flowers are used for an extract known as CBD oil that is now being widely sold and used to address aches and pains and even mental disorders.
Our plan is to sell the seed into the food processing market and also sell the fiber of the stalks into the fiber processing markets as those markets develop.
It has taken over 80 years for industrial hemp to be legally grown again in Virginia. And now,
our first industrial hemp crop produced commercially is currently growing.
Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your Thursday.